Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History.
In today's podcast, we will be discussing conscription and conscientious objectors during the Great War. We will begin by describing the process that was involved in conscription, before going on to consider the treatment of conscientious objectors. Due to a shortage of troops, from 1916 onwards, British men were conscripted to join the war. This meant they were forced to. However, some men refused to do this. At the start of the Great War, Britain had a volunteer army. To try and get more soldiers, the government launched a huge recruitment campaign. However, this failed to attract the numbers which were needed. In July 1915, the British government introduced the National Registrations Act. This law forced all men and women to sign a register so that they could be called up to play a part in the war, if they were required. In January 1916, the Military Service Act was passed. This introduced conscription for single men aged 18 to 41, but excluded certain types of groups such as the clergy and also types of workers who worked in reserved occupations. Reserved occupations were jobs which were essential to the war effort but not involved in fighting, such as shipbuilding or mining. The law also recognised that some men may refuse to fight on moral grounds, and it included plans for them to get civilian roles or non-fighting military roles. In May 1916, the law was extended to cover married men as well. The final change to the conscription law came in 1918, when the age at which men could be recruited went up from 41 to 51. There was some public opposition to conscription, and there were notable protests against this. Many men, however, refused to be conscripted. They were known as conscientious objectors. They had different reasons for not wanting to fight. Some people objected to the war because of politics. They believed that the war would help rich businessmen and hurt poor soldiers, so they didn't want to participate. Other men objected on the grounds of religion or morals. They argued that it was wrong to fight and kill another human being, and would not do so. Others refused to even help people that were fighting, even in non-fighting roles themselves. The Military Service Act included plans for men to be allowed to refuse to fight. Such men had to attend a military service tribunal where they would argue their case for not being allowed to join the war. Whilst waiting on a tribunal's decision, many conscientious objectors were held in prison. During their time in prison, they were often subject to physical and emotional abuse from the prison guards or even other prisoners. If a tribunal agreed with the men, then they were allowed to work in a civilian job at home, or if they were sent to the front, it would be in a non-fighting role. However, many men had their request denied and were forcibly sent to the army, where some of them then refused to follow orders. Conscientious objector soldiers that refused to follow orders faced different punishments. They might be physically assaulted or given extra duties and work to carry out. They certainly faced military prison and were even threatened with death. On some occasions, men would go through a mock execution, where the conscientious objector would be told he was to be shot, he would be blindfolded, he'd be put in front of men with guns who would load them, and only at the last minute would they not go ahead. Some conscientious objectors were sent to special prisons and work camps. Conditions in these places could often be poor, and the work was physically very demanding. Some men would even die in these camps because of the conditions. Conscientious objectors were generally very unpopular. In their home communities, many such men might be spat on or abused in the street. Some of them would be refused service in local pubs and shops, and have people who had once been their friends or even family no longer talk to them.